It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks to listener requests, Liz in Chicago, we had an email from Jay. We explore the work of prairie restoration underway in Wisconsin through the nonprofit grassroots group, the Prairie Enthusiasts. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Carter is an ecologist with the Prairie Enthusiasts. Dan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deborah Behrens is here, the organization's executive director. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Deborah, let's start with you. Why are you passionate about protecting prairie and savanna ecosystems in Wisconsin and the upper Midwest?
Well, for me personally, this is a calling that came a little later in life. I have pioneer ancestors who are farmers in Minnesota, and I grew up as a child visiting my grandparents on the farm. And I thought of the prairie as that vast sky, the agricultural fields that we drove through to get to their place on the in the southern part of Minnesota. And as I continued to learn about the prairie over a lifetime, I developed a deepening interest in what the prairie really was when my pioneer ancestors arrived. And my husband and I developed an interest in restoration and eventually relocated from the Twin Cities to southwestern Wisconsin, where we're doing our own restoration on our land now.
I remember that first time that I stepped on prairie that had been untouched. It was a summer in North Dakota on my family grandmother's former land. And I just, the feeling to wash over you and to look out over a prairie, there's something that is just so remarkable. And Dan, I'm wondering what calls you to this work of prairie conservation?
Well, for me, it probably started when I was a teenager. I used to like to go on bike rides out in the country. I grew up in Iowa, and I had no awareness of prairie. But one day when I was out on a bike ride, I stopped at a small county property, which was a prairie preserve, and I got off my bike and I walked around, and it just blew my mind, you know, what was there. It was a place that was full of things that I had never seen before, that was just right there in the place that I'd been at to that point, you know, living my entire life.
Mm. So how would you describe, Dan, the state of prairie ecosystems now in Wisconsin?
Well, I would say there's sort of both really good news and bad news. I'll start with the really good news and that's that there are prairies in Wisconsin that are very healthy, whose condition has been maintained and even improved over the last several decades, even with stresses like climate change and everything else. But prairies are an ecosystem type, and really prairies and oak savannas and oak woodlands and all the other fire-dependent ecosystems are ecosystem types that require a human interaction, and most prominent there is the use of prescribed fire, and presently we're really lacking the capacity to implement that adequately on the remaining prairies and other fire dependent communities in the state. So we're losing a lot of prairies even in protected settings on lands that are in conservation ownership, simply because we don't have the resources to implement that kind of stewardship.
And we're going to go more deeply into prescribed burns in just a bit. But Deborah, the Prairie Enthusiast has chapters in Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota. How does the organization work with farmers and landowners to conserve prairies?
So that is a great question. We love working with farmers and landowners. Going back to the 70s, when we originally formed, it was a small group of volunteers who were finding each other through their mutual interest and passion for prairie. And they were seeking out where some of these remnant prairie ecosystems still existed in the state. And many of them were on land that was owned by agricultural families. And they would go door to door. They would walk up and knock on the door and say, hello, I think you have remnant prairie on your land. Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you about it? Can I show you what's there and learn about, you know, how you're managing it? And we've developed generations-long, sometimes, relationships with those families where we're collaborating to help care for what is really an endangered, imperiled ecosystem in the state. And over time, because we're an accredited land trust now, we have been able to protect some of those prairies and now continue to care for them. So that's one really important way that we've worked with farmers and landowners. Increasingly, we see private landowners who themselves are looking at the lands that they hold and purchasing them for the purpose of restoration, or purchasing them because they have a desire to be in nature. And they start to seek out, what is the right way for me to be managing my land if I want to be a responsible landowner? They find us. And Dan's position in the organization is actually funded by donor support, and he visits with those landowners to learn what their goals are for the land, to talk with them about what tools are available to help them achieve their goals, and in some cases to develop some plans alongside them to achieve those goals.
Deborah Behrens there, and Dan Carter of the nonprofit The Prairie Enthusiasts, as we talk about conservation of prairies in the upper Midwest. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Dan, as you do your work as an ecologist, which animals are most threatened by the loss of prairie and savannas?
Well, there's a group, especially of insects, that really specialize on prairie species and are only found in remnant prairies. Things like regal fritillary butterflies, certain plant hoppers. A lot of these, they're specialized to the particular biochemistry of native plants that are in those prairies. And oftentimes these are plants that don't occur anywhere else on the landscape. And given how fragmented the landscape is now, many of these species have limited ability to colonize new sites, say where prairie is reconstructed, even if they do have suitable host plants. So the specialist insects are a huge one. If we think about larger landscapes, of course, there are species that we've lost on most of the prairie landscape, things like the greater prairie chicken or the grassland birds that require large tracts of open grassland, whether it's prairie or not, frankly. But those are groups that come to mind, the grassland birds and the specialist insects.
Deborah, we hear you talking about remnant prairies and this emphasis on sites that are undisturbed from development. Why are these remnant sites so important, so valuable?
So we think of saving the planet and caring about what's happening in the rainforest. And certainly we have to think globally, but it's easy to forget because we've lost our memory for the prairie. As Dan mentioned, the systems have become increasingly fragmented. What the prairie was and how important it was and still is to this region where we live today. Less than 1% of the original prairie and oak savanna that was here when European settlers arrived is still here today. That's an incredibly threatened system. And as Dan mentioned, there's biodiversity depending on the continued existence and health of these systems. So we actively seek out and protect, which includes the management of what we call fire-dependent systems, because they evolved over thousands of years relying on the fires lit mostly by indigenous peoples in the region. And we try to, in protecting that land, then return fire to the land and bring back the human part of the ecosystem and the care for that system. You know, we think of humans as often being the culprit, creating environmental damage. that actually humans play a really important part in restoring and maintaining the health of these systems.
Deborah Behrens leads the Prairie Enthusiasts, and Dan Carter is an ecologist with the organization, and you can be part of this discussion about bringing back and caring for native prairie land. Call in with a question, add comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss native prairie restoration efforts here in Wisconsin as the organization, the Prairie Enthusiasts, open a 4-day virtual conference on different facets of land conservation. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Deborah Behrens is executive director of the Prairie Enthusiasts, and Dan Carter is an ecologist with the group. Dan, in terms of the conference, there will be events on training people to be crew members during a prescribed burn. How do people train for these burns?
Yeah, so we offer training for our volunteers, and training is really important. And so in the conference, it's a virtual training, and people after that can meet up with local chapters and get oriented to the equipment that's used. But, you know, we use prescribed burning. It's something different from wildland fire. And so we offer a curriculum that's really focused on the ecological reasons we burn, the history of fire in the region, and the way fire behaves when it's implemented in a prescribed burn in our Midwestern prairie and other fire-dependent ecosystems. And we really rely on volunteers in most instances on the places we protect to implement burns. And so it's very important for us to continue to maintain that reservoir of capacity, because that's really one of the most limiting things that that limits the broader ability to protect and conserve prairie and other fire-dependent ecosystems.
What might be some of the tasks that these volunteers do as part of the prescribed burn?
Oh, well, everything. we have volunteers with lots of experience and who have taken our training and additional trainings to become burn bosses, so lead burns. Volunteers coordinate burns, lead crews on the burns, perform ignition activities, so, you know, light the fire, hold the line. So we have fire breaks around burn units, and volunteers, you know, sort of position themselves along those breaks with water and other equipment to ensure that the fire is held within the burn unit and doesn't pass over the fire break. But really, it's all the jobs.
Hmm. Let's take a call now. Tom in Green Bay is here. Tom, hi.
Good morning. I'm curious if your guest has any comments or any ideas in overcoming some of the social resistance to suburban or urban prairies around homes. I know that they're often not popular in neighborhoods when people turn their lawns into prairies. Personally, I like them, and I, you know, love what they do for the critters, but I also understand the neighbors' perspectives, and if the guest has any ideas to overcome that.
Tom, thank you. Deborah.
So that is a great question. We actually have a remnant prairie that is in a community that has expanded, and so now surrounding our community are some family homes. And we have had some mixed experience with that. On the one hand, there are some people who are really curious about what's happening there and even get involved and bring their children, and it's a wonderful enrichment. For others, there is concern about the wildlife on the prairie and some of the activity that we're doing. So we really strive to communicate about what the plans are for management and to educate to the extent that that's possible about what we're doing and why these systems are important. But I think actually it might be interesting to hear from Dan on this as well, because he has been doing some active prairie gardens in his own, where he lives near Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Dan, what has come through those?
Yeah, so I would reiterate that communication is important. I live in a subdivision on about a 3/4 acre lot, and it really stands out because just about every square inch of it has been planted to prairie and oak savanna vegetation, and it's not mowed or anything. And you know, I put up signs, I talk to my neighbors. It's also important, I think, to, there are different ways of going about doing it. And maybe I have the benefit of being an ecologist that works in these systems and have some understanding of how they're stitched together, but simply what plants are used and how they're combined and what the results are important. So there's an annual sort of rummage sale in my area, and tons of people are coming from all over the place and parking along our street. And I'm often working out in my yard. It's the weekend, and people come up and strike up a conversation, but they just say, "Oh, you have a really nice garden," because it's just this, it's just a bunch of flowers, and there aren't any weeds that they recognize. And it has a structure that's a lot like the structure in Remnant Prairies, because I manage it very intensively.
Oh, all the teachable moments. Yeah.
So, you know, to some people that don't understand maybe even that I'm working with prairie vegetation, they just see it as a really nice garden.
Interesting. Dan Carter of the Prairie Enthusiasts, Deborah Behrens, Executive Director, as we discuss prairies in the Upper Midwest and their conservation. Call in with questions, 800-642-1234. Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi, good morning. I would like to get the guests' opinions on, like, Janesville here. We're growing and have been for over 15 years, prairie restoration projects, little pockets here and there. Given your comment that native species don't transplant well back into these, is it still worth the effort? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Dan, go ahead.
It absolutely is. So I was talking really about a limited subset of specialist prairie insects that maybe don't disperse well between sites, but we have boatloads of species that depend on diverse open space, whether that be prairie or woodlands, rare and declining species that are declining just because of general habitat loss or land use changes. Things like rusty patch bumblebee benefit greatly from prairie plantings. And they're good for the soil and water, so they're absolutely worth it.
I want to land here, Deborah, on funding. You mentioned you're now an accredited land trust. Are the Prairie Enthusiasts as an organization like seeking state or federal grants to further these projects?
We are, and we do. So we have been the grateful recipient of funding from the state and the federal government as well for some of the projects that we're doing, because especially we're working with, again, some really threatened species, sometimes endangered species on our sites. The state and the U.S. government has identified the importance of our work and invested dollars in supporting it. But equally important to us is growing the community of people that we have involved in this work. So actively seeking volunteers to do all sorts of different activities on our sites, from seed collecting to, as Dan mentioned, prescribed burning, even work within just the organization, communicating, that kind of thing. We really are a grassroots group, and we're committed to people who live in the local area, finding these places where they live, developing relationships with them, and becoming stewards of the land.
Well, thank you both for joining us and for sharing your work.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having us. It was fun. I hope we'll see some of your listeners at the conference.
Indeed. That is Deborah Behrens, the executive director of the Prairie Enthusiasts, and Dan Carter is its ecologist. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.